2 Timothy 3, beginning to read at verse 10. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. Two verses this morning. It's not long since we were doing two chapters in the morning, and we've slowed right down. Two verses this morning. Verse 18, verse 19 of Revelation 22. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. Right at the end of the Bible, what does God want to leave in our minds? What does God want to leave with us as the whole canon now of his revelation is completed? What is it that the Lord wants to leave with us? Well, that's what we're looking at both this morning and this evening. And in these two verses, we're going to have a look at them by looking at three things. First of all, we see it is a warning, a last warning. Secondly, what exactly are we warned against? And thirdly, why is it so important? So the first thing that we're going to notice is that our verses begin in verse 18, where the Lord God Almighty says, I warn everyone. So it's a warning. Now, it's not the first warning we've ever read in Scripture, that's for sure, because Deuteronomy chapter 4 gives a warning there. In Deuteronomy, the first two verses, this is at the giving of the law, we read this: Hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them, so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Do not add to what I command, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. So there we have, right at the giving of the law, this command from God not to add anything or subtract anything of all that he is going to tell us. At the end of the Old Testament, in Malachi chapter 4, verse 4, then Malachi points us back to these commands and to this instruction from God. He says, Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. And so when we get to Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19, and we read that there is a warning that if anyone adds anything to what God has said, If anyone takes these words away, subtracts, then there is trouble ahead. So this is the command, not to add anything or subtract anything from the scripture. Now, we recognize that at the end of Revelation 22, it's specifically to those who hear the words of the prophecy of this book, which is a clear reference to Revelation. But bearing in mind what Deuteronomy chapter 4 says, that the Lord, right at the giving of the commandments, said, do not add anything, do not subtract anything to all that God has given to you to obey. And that's reminded of in Malachi, and here it is again, right at the end of the Bible, we recognize what God is doing here. That this is a command that runs right through Scripture. And if we're to ask, what does the Lord want from us? In the last words of the whole canon of Scripture, then it's very fitting that what God says is, take care, be very careful not to add anything to what I say, and do not take anything away. And he gives us this warning. Well, let's just pause there for a moment, because if we're honest, you and I, we live in a society, we're in an environment where we're not that keen on warnings, are we? We don't like them that much. And there's a reason for that, because in our modern society, then human beings have got this fanciful idea that we've come of age and that we really know what's best for us. And so increasingly in our society, God is just removed to the fringes. Interesting, you never hear God's name, do you, in politics? That phrase years ago, we don't do God. It's just right through, not only politics, but all sort of stratas of our society. And our situation is that now the human being is prominent, and so there's been a shift in the way people think. See, it's within living memory of many of us here that the word tolerant was a very good word. And tolerance was a good thing because it meant there was a recognition that there are people who have different beliefs, different ideas and different lifestyles, and we all live together in a society, in our nation. And there has to be that tolerance, that recognition that people have different views and different lifestyles. You don't agree with them, but actually there is that tolerance that we can live side by side. Now, that was a good thing. Tolerance increasingly has become quite a bad word, because what is demanded nowadays is affirmation. Now, what I mean by that is that here we are. Now, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a Lord and you are under the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be a Christian. But there are all sorts of other people who have different beliefs and different lifestyles. But now what we are being asked is not to practice tolerance, which was a good thing, but now a lot more is asked of us. We want now, our society demands now that there is affirmation. Now what I mean is that here's somebody who believes entirely different things and has a completely different lifestyle, but we have to affirm their decision. And we've got to say, good for you. Okay, that's your choice, and you're happy with your choice, and I'm with you, and I'll support you in your choice. So that's what's demanded. Now, I explain this simply to explain that this is the very heart of what postmodernism, what people nowadays actually think of equality. But you've not only got to tolerate, which was a good word, but you've got to affirm, because we're equal. And people's lifestyles have got to be respected as equal. Now, that's why we're not keen on warnings. Because there's no need for warnings anymore, is there? Because you can't warn somebody and you can't say, this is right and this is wrong. And people say, whoa, you can't speak like that. This is right and this is wrong. And you can't warn against what is wrong. Now, that's the environment that we live in. I think it's important that we recognise that. But the only problem with that view is that God doesn't think like that and he doesn't speak like that. Because God actually warns us. Because God says time and time again, this is right and this is wrong. If you do what is right, I will bless you. If you do what is wrong, then I will come with judgment. And this is what these two verses are about. And I think before we consider them together, we ought to just say, Lord, please give me grace. I've come from this community of people. I'm no different from everybody else. My heart's the same as everybody else's. And so I am influenced by all this wrong way of thinking. And I recognize, Lord, that you know because you are true. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And so if I'm going to take the Lordship of Jesus Christ seriously, I've got to say, Lord, I've got to change. And I've got to learn how to be warned. I've got to learn to change the way I think. I've got to learn to change my viewpoints. I need to be warned. Because all of us, and I do mean all of us, me and all of you, really have this caution that we don't like to be warned. We all believe it's a good thing to warn other people. But not ourselves. We'll just make our minds up, thank you very much. And we'll carry on as we think best. And so that needs to be said. So the second thing is, what exactly are we being warned against? Now, it's very simple. We don't have to go into great detail of explaining what the Lord is saying here. All of us can understand it. God has spoken. He has revealed his purposes. The secret things belong to God. He hasn't told us everything, but he's told us everything that we need to know for our salvation and for our life upon this earth. And he simply says, do not add to it, do not subtract to it. And we take that and understand that as meaning not only this book at the end of the Bible, but we notice that this warning is given right at the end of the book, and it's this thread that's gone through, don't add or don't subtract. Now, let's be careful here, because what the Lord, I'm sure, is not saying that if you make a mistake or if you have a misunderstanding or out of ignorance you don't quite take on board what I'm saying, then these punishments will come upon you. That's not the issue. What he's speaking about is the intentional adding or subtracting for our own purposes. So let's be clear now on exactly what we're speaking about. We're speaking about what is called the canon of Scripture. That just means the full list of books that we have, the 66 books of the Bible. The 39 books of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ really showed them that they were authentic by believing the 39 books of the Bible while he was here on earth. We'll see that in a moment. But also, he set aside his apostles to make sure that the New Testament was brought about. And the New Testament, the writings of the New Testament, were accepted by the churches on the grounds that they had the authority of the apostles behind them. And so, there are some people who think, well, when you're talking about the Bible, this canon of 66 books, then wasn't that decided sometime in the 4th century when theologians got together and there were all sorts of books out there and they chose the ones that they thought should be in the Bible? That is absolutely not the way it happened, because the way it happened as you go through the Scripture was that these books were written. So when Paul wrote a letter to a church, then the church received it as from Paul, and that church was that letter was passed around other churches, and it was looked upon as Scripture. That was true of Peter, and it was true of all the writers. If they weren't apostles, they had that close association with the people who wrote it, and it had that apostolic authority. So what I'm saying was that actually, according to the principle given to us in Jude, because in Jude we're told, contend for the faith, the truth that's in the Scriptures. Contend for it. That's our business. Contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to who? To the saints. To the saints. To ordinary, everyday Christian people. The truth has been entrusted to us. That's exactly how the New Testament was brought about. Because the writings went to the churches, and the saints, the people whom God had saved, the people who received the Spirit, accepted it and recognized it as what it was, Scripture, on par with the 39 books of the Old Testament, with all the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was God speaking to them, and it was accepted church after church, church after church. So by the time we get along a couple of centuries later, into the 4th century, when all the heavyweights get together, all the really important people, and have their various synods, all they're doing is rubber stamping what was already there. They're not saying, here, let's have a big list of this, and let's have a big list of that, and let's sort out, what do you think about this, and let's the saints, it had been delivered to the saints once and for all, and so it was recognized amongst the churches that scripture had been given. That's what we're talking about now. This truth has always been attacked, because you can see why. This is massively important this morning, because we're talking about the very basis of what we believe. We don't want to believe a lie. We want truth. That's our great passion. I want to know what's true. I don't want to know a whole load of stories that somehow will make me get through life better and make me feel better and cope with Monday mornings better. We want reality and we want truth. Where does God speak? What is God saying? Where do we hear God? This is why it's so massively important, and it's always been an issue. One of the great turning points in history was at the time, of course, of Martin Luther, when then the church as it was had got all sorts of wicked things going on. They were praying to the saints. They were praying to Mary. They were believing in transubstantiation and indulgences, and they were looking at the Pope as the last word of authority in everything. They'd got themselves into a terrible mess, and of course Martin Luther turned up and said, we've got to decide by scripture. That's our final landing place as to why we believe what we believe. And he made that famous statement, here I stand, I can do no other, may God help me. Amen. That's what Martin Luther said. Now, we don't call ourselves Lutherans because we don't follow sinful men. And Luther had all sorts of massive mistakes, and like all men do have. But the point is that this is a truth always under attack. And so we've got to be careful. So the command this morning is, do not add to scripture. Luther was fighting traditions at the time. People thought, here's a good way of making money, indulgences. And they had made their traditions mean more than the Bible. And he fought that. And we've got to be very careful. I'm not saying tradition is bad. All I'm saying is that we do not put tradition on par with scripture. Because scripture is what we are told is God's word. That is God's word to us. And we must recognize the difference between scripture and all other writings. Now, that's true when it comes to other books. There's loads of books which have all sorts of useful things in them. But if ever a book is elevated to be on par with scripture, that's when the problems come. And that's what God is commanding anything. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, don't add anything to my words. That's what he's saying. And so you've got a whole host of literature which has been elevated to be on par with the Bible, to be claiming that this is where God speaks. So the Book of Mormon, people claim that God is speaking them there. The divine principle, which is what the Unification Church uses, there's a whole load of people that would claim that God is speaking there. The Apocrypha, people would go there and say, look, this is what God says. The Quran, people would go there and say, look, this is what God says. Now, this is why warnings are not popular in our society. Because God says, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them. So we've got this choice before us this morning. We've got to be honest and say, well, what line are we going to take? Are we going to listen to God's warnings, or are we going to fit in with our society? Because this is very uncomfortable in our society. What exactly are you teaching at Hall Green this morning? Well, what's been taught is that according to the teaching of Scripture, and we'll tell you why we believe that in a moment, according to the teaching of Scripture, then the Scripture, God's word,
is revealed here in a very unique way, which cannot be found elsewhere. Okay? That's what we are saying. We want to be tolerant in the old meaning of the word, and we want the best for everybody round about. We love people. We've been commanded to love people and to reach out to people, and we want to live side by side peacefully with people from all different views with different lifestyles. But we've got to recognize what God teaches, and he teaches that this is actually what he reveals. Now that is the core problem, basically, of the evangelical Christian in our generation, that we stand on what God says. We don't pretend to understand everything, but we recognize that the Lord gives us a warning which we're to take heed to. There's another thing which can add to this, and that's what I would call new revelations. Now, what I mean by that is that we are all aware, if you believe in the Lord Jesus, you have the Spirit indwelling with us. And I've got a score of testimonies, as I'm sure you have, of the Holy Spirit at work in us. I can think of promptings where I've gone to visit people and it's been just so appropriate, and you just say, thank you, Lord, that was of you. I wake up in the middle of the night sometimes. I'm increasingly having this experience with somebody on my mind, and pray for them. I don't believe that's an accident. I believe that that is a providence of God. God says that he will guide us with his eye, and we are guided, and we have the Holy Spirit within us. We're walking with God, and it is God's providence day by day. I believe all that. I was looking on YouTube the other day, listening to two preachers speaking about why they were both very famous preachers, and they were speaking why they needed their private planes. So it was an interesting discussion, and they both had private planes, and they were saying why it was necessary. And one of the reasons one of them said was it was necessary was because on an ordinary plane with lots of people who don't believe in God, it's impossible to speak to God and communicate with God. And he gave the example of being on his plane, and God spoke to him, and he said these sentences to him, and he stood up and he said, what do you want, Lord? What are you saying? And he had this conversation, and he spoke verbatim, presumably, the conversation, the words that we use between him and God on this aeroplane. And they both came to the conclusion that really that's why they need private aeroplanes, because you can't do things like that on a normal flight. Now, I have no problem with preachers. Oh, well, I am a preacher, aren't I? I have no problems with private aeroplanes, by the way. I have no problems with being rich. And if people want to buy a private aeroplane, that's fine. What I do have a problem is that both these preachers don't preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They preach Jesus as a means to an end. And they fly all over the world doing it. And so they preach that if you want to be rich, and if you want a good life, and if you want a quality of life, and live to your full potential, then and live without sickness and without illness, then you need Jesus. Jesus is a means to an end. It's called the prosperity gospel. It's wreaking havoc everywhere. So, although I've got no problems with airplanes or preachers, I got a massive problem with that. I have a massive problem with that. And I also have a massive problem that actually, this person claims to have a personal conversation with God. Now, I believe that we walk with God day by day. We're ever speaking to him. And he's ever, through the light of Scripture, we walk in this fellowship with him. And through God's providence and the work of the Spirit, then he leads us. I don't doubt those things for a moment. We experience it day by day. But sentences, think again. A paragraph, God says, a paragraph. Okay, so you reply, and God speaks again, a paragraph. So in all these circles, what you have taking place is this exaltation of these people actually claiming revelation directly from God in sentences and paragraphs. You have that exaltation onto the power of Scripture. So if we want to know what God wants us to do, we have to listen to these people. And they are on a par with Scripture. No. No. Oh, enjoy your freedom this morning. Enjoy your freedom. We've got the Scriptures. We've got God's Word translated for us. Absolutely infallible in the original. And we've got good translations, still got to do work on that to make them better translations. But we've got good translations where we have God's word speaking to us. And we are not under the chains. And we are not in that awful position of having to listen to these people to hear what God is saying to this generation and to us. Isn't that freedom? Absolute freedom. Wonderful. We all have a Bible. And you can go home and you know that, well, it's only Mick that was in the pulpit this morning. I'll have a look myself what's in the Bible. That's all right. That's okay. Everybody's at liberty to do that. But then if you find out what only Mick has been saying in the Bible is true, you say, that was God, wasn't it? That's God speaking. Because that's how God speaks, through his living word. So we're not to take away either. We can add through doing all those things. We can take away through our unbelief, not believing what God says, because, oh, I've never believed that. Oh, that's so, oh, if I believe that, I don't know any of my friends who believe that, can't believe that. We can't take away through unbelief. We can't take away through tradition. People in Jesus' day did that. You put a tradition in the way of what God says. We can't drop teachings because they're a bit unpopular. Can't do that. Oh, ain't it tough, this, eh? Can't do that. So we got a whole society that would say, no, you can't believe that. You can't believe that. Nobody believes that anymore. And you can't believe that because they've got this false view of equality. We believe in equality, but not the modern definition of equality. Because that modern definition of equality has no room for what is right and what's wrong. Demands that confirmation of everybody's view. And so we're in this position this morning where we're surrounded by people who would say, well, of course, what people used to believe in the old days was this, but we know a bit better now. Well, what does Scripture teach? Now, this is the key. This is the message of this morning. Make every thought captive to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring everything back to Scripture. And just ask the questions. We're not infallible. We'll make mistakes. But I'll tell you what, we are determined, like Luther, here I take my stand, that we shall look at Scripture and pray that the Lord might bless us and be absolutely assured that I'm not to add to it. And I'm not to take away from it. I'm not to rip out things that may not be relevant anymore in our society. That's called liberalism. Churches are full of it. Liberal churches. They don't believe the Bible. Now, why then is it so important? Well, it's so important not to take, not to add, because have you seen what God is warning us about? If you add, if you take away, if you do that intentionally to suit your purposes, you have no part with God. In fact, the plagues which are described in this book will come upon you. And you will have no share in the tree of life and in the holy city. That's heaven he's speaking about. So he simply says, if that's what you want to do, then you make sure that you know that that is opposite to me. And God says, if you intentionally take away and if you intentionally add to what I have declared, then you have no part in the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important. You see, Jesus is not a means to an end. He is not. He is the end. He is the all in all. This morning, what God is looking for is whether you and I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And the definition of a Christian is if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you must believe that he's alive and lives forevermore and able now to save whoever comes to him. We must recognize our sin and recognize that Jesus is the only Savior. And we must recognize that for those who are Christians, we call him Lord. And Jesus said, why do you call me Lord when you do not do the things that I say? And to have Jesus as Lord is to obey him. Now, that the Lord is not in any way saying, therefore, you must have perfection and all the rest of it. Right from the word go, we know that Jesus is a friend and a saviour of sinners. We mess up big time all the time. So there's no looking for perfection in all this. That time will come and we desire to grow in Christ and we desire out of love for him to keep and to obey his commandments. So there's got to be a life change, but that's far from saying perfection. So this is where we are, this recognition that the Lord warns us and says, look, this is really vital because this is the word of God. 2 Peter 1 verse 19. We have the word of the prophets made more certain. Speaking of scripture here, after his amazing experience of seeing Jesus transfigured, he says, we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were moved along by the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful position to be in. We hear all sorts in the media. We hear people have thoughts on this, thoughts on that. And it's as if we're all groping about, wondering what happens when we die, wondering what God's like, if he's there at all. And everybody has their own thoughts. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes to the scene and he gives us this teaching. Because remember, the Lord absolutely lived by scripture. Listen to what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 5 verse 17. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. That's the scriptures. It's a phrase that was used for the Old Testament. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. That was the Lord's view. Now, God willing, in a couple of weeks, actually, one of the subjects on Sunday evening, we've got somebody coming up. We've got somebody coming up from Bromsgrove to speak on why we believe the Bible. It's one of our sessions on Sunday evening, so he's going to go into that a lot deeper. I'll just leave it there and say simply that the evidence that the Lord Jesus Christ really lived in the light of Scripture is just enormous. And so why is it so important to really believe the Scriptures? Well, first of all, we've seen God's warning, and we've seen really that there are dire consequences for adding to or taking away from Scripture. And we recognize the Lord Jesus himself truly believed Scripture. And so it seems to me that we have to take care that we don't actually have a mythical idea of Jesus, that we don't have our own personal Jesus. Our own personal Jesus, in one sense, is a made-up one. We can have, if you know the song, by the way, we can have a personal relationship with Jesus, and that's fine. But if we're just making up a Jesus who is a figment of our imagination, but not listening to anything he really says, that's not really following him. But if we say, right, Jesus, the historical Jesus, the one who is given to us in Scripture, let's listen to him, let's hear him, let's see what he has to say. I believe in this man. I'm going to take notice of what he says, and I'm going to start living my life according to what he says. If that is the case, and Jesus is our Lord, then that means we're Christian, doesn't it? We believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that he is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And so we recognize that that is the requirement. And part of that requirement is recognizing Jesus's teaching on the scriptures and taking that on board and recognizing the wonderful freedom and the blessings that this brings, that we're not in the tyranny of having to listen to people who march into the midst and say, God says this, that you must do this, and God told me the other day that you must do that, and God spoke to me the other day and this is what he said and you must do that. Right, okay, I hear you. Okay, I'll just get my Bible out and I'll see what God says. Because it's here. God's inscripturated word. Get hold of that freedom and enjoy it. And make sure you get to know this book absolutely inside out. Because it's glorious light by which to live by.